and offered his human hand to her. She reached up and clasped it. "We'll be waiting for you," he said. Then, looking sternly at Dr. Pohan, he added, "We'll be right here when you wake up." Deirdre smiled at the three of them.
"Good," she whispered. "Good."
She closed her eyes, and her face relaxed into sleep. Dr. Pohan hissed,
"She is sedated. Now go. We have work to do."
Dorn glanced at his two companions, then said to the doctor, "One of us will be here in your infirmary at all times."
"Impossible," snapped Pohan. "We have no waiting room, no facilities for—"
Jaeger interrupted him. "At all times, like the man said, even if we have to wait out in the passageway."
"Yeah," said Andy.
"We'll keep watch over her night and day." Dr. Pohan looked as if he might burst. Red-faced, mustache quivering, scalp covered with beads of perspiration. But he admitted defeat.
"Out in the passageway, then. Do not interfere with medical procedures."
"We wouldn't dream of it," said Jaeger, straight-faced. "We merely want to look in on our friend from time to time," said Dorn.
"Every day," Corvus emphasized.
Leviathan. Leviathan's eye parts could see the darters clearly now, a huge swarm of them lurking upcurrent between the kin and the flow of food sifting down weakly from the cold abyss above. Darters had never done this before, as far as Leviathan knew. They hunted in small packs and attacked individual members of the kin, usually when one went off alone to dissociate and bud. But now the darters had grouped together and were apparently willing to attack the kin en masse. It flashed a question to the elders, deep in the core of the kin's formation. Have the darters ever shown this behavior before? Have they ever displayed such planning, such cunning? Leviathan's question was relayed from one member of the kin to another, inward, toward the elders. Leviathan watched the displays flashing yellow and green, briefly lighting the water, fainter and fainter as the message moved inward toward the elders. Waiting, Leviathan saw that the darters were trying to cut the kin off from the flow of food. If they wished to reach the downcurrent, they would have to fight their way past the darters. And if they failed to reach the flow of food, members of the kin would begin to disintegrate involuntarily, hunger driving their primeval instinct to dissociate and reproduce. Then the darters would feast. At last the elder's answer flashed from the display of the member nearest Leviathan. None of the elders could recall the darters showing such organization and forethought before. Not even the most senior of the elders had seen anything like this, even from its first budding long ages ago. Something new. Despite the danger, Leviathan thrilled at the concept. Something new and different was happening. Perhaps it would lead the elders to change their ancient ways. Another message flashed from the display cells of the member nearest Leviathan. The elders have decided that the kin will turn away from the darters. Leave the food stream? Leviathan was stunned by the elders' decision. Before it could question the command, though, the message from the elders continued. There are other food streams. The world is wide. There is no need to confront the darters over this one stream. We will find another. As the huge, spherical formation of the kin slowly turned away, Leviathan wondered if the elders knew what they were doing. The darters aren't going to remain where they are and let us get away from them. They will follow us and attack, sooner or later. Leviathan flashed that message inward toward the elders. In time, their reply flared from the hide of the member nearest it. The darters would never dare to attack the assembled kin. We would destroy them, and they know it. Stay together, and we will leave them far behind us while we find another food stream. Leviathan wondered about that. The darters have changed their ways, but the elders do not recognize it. Nor do they realize that we must change our ways as well. But decisions of the elders must be obeyed, or the symmetry will be damaged beyond repair. Reluctantly, Leviathan swam with the rest of the kin, away from the food stream, away from the waiting darters. Its eye parts saw that the darters turned too and began to follow the kin on their new course. They could be patient, Leviathan thought, and wait until starvation forces us to begin dissociating.
Part 2. Jupiter Orbit. Research Station Gold. We are not to imagine or suppose, but to discover what nature does, or may be made to do. Francis Bacon.
Recovery. Deirdre was dreaming about the dolphins. She was a dolphin herself, swimming easily in a world filled with fish, sunlight streaming from above, water sparkling and warm. Miss Ambrose, can you hear me? The voice was gentle but annoying. She dived deeper into the sea, searching for the bottom where the tasty squid jetted among the rocks and coral formations. Miss Ambrose, open your eyes, please. Go away, Deirdre thought. Leave me alone, won't you? Dee, a different voice called. It's me, Andy. Can you wake up now? Andy. She pictured his boyish, grinning, slightly crooked face. Reluctantly, Deirdre opened her eyes. It took an effort. Her lids were gummy, as if someone had pasted them together. Hey, that's good. How do you feel? Blinking, she made out a fuzzy form leaning over her. A few more quick flickers of her lids, and Andy Corvus's face came into focus. He was grinning in his lopsided, easygoing way. Hi. Welcome back. Doran's half-metal form came into view. Welcome to Station Gold.
We're here?
Deirdre's throat felt parched. Her voice was scratchy. We are always here, Doran said gravely, wherever that may be. Andy said, what he means is... Never mind what he means. Max Yeager's burly form pushed into view behind the other two. How are you, gorgeous? How do you feel? Swiftly taking stock, she said shakily,
okay, I guess.
Then stronger. Fine, actually. I feel fine. Like I've had a good long nap. 9 days, just about, said Corvus. Deirdre pushed herself up on her elbows, and the thin sheet covering her slipped away. With a shock, she realized she was wearing nothing. Corvus gulped as she grabbed the sheet and pulled it up to her chin. Doran looked away. Yeager turned flame red. A medical orderly, young and male, offered Deirdre a small cup of water. Clutching the sheet with one hand as she sat up on the bed, Deirdre accepted the water gratefully. The bed rose automatically to support her.
We have fruit juices, if you prefer, said the orderly.
This will do. Thank you.
Glancing around as she drank, she saw that they were obviously no longer in Australia's pocket-sized infirmary. This was an actual room, with walls instead of flimsy partitions, and display screens that showed vivid swirls and streams of color.
Those are Jupiter's cloud tops, Deirdre recognized. They must be